Welcome back to the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs. Joined now by the play-by-play voice of the Kansas State Lady Wildcat basketball team that's NCAA tournament bound. That would be Brian Smoller. Brian, how you doing today, man?
I'm good, Wade. How are you?
Not bad at all. Appreciate the time. I know it's going to be a busy week for you, traveling down to Columbia, South Carolina. Have you got a hold of Frank Martin? You going to stay at his place?
No, I have not. To this point, I know he's been busy working for the NIT.
That's true.
They had a big win last night.
Well, I'm thinking he won't be home, so that would work out perfectly for you.
Well, they hosted last night, didn't they?
Did they? Oh, okay. Well, then maybe never mind. Well, I'm sure he has a big enough house he could, you know, let you hang out or something.
They're a number one seed, so I think they'll be at home for a while if they keep winning.
I'll have to be honest with you, Brian. I'm not following the NIT very closely, but I'm just not. We'll get to that point here in a moment. Well, I want to start with the K-State Lady Wildcats. You know, Jeff Mitty's done a really, really nice job here the first 2 years with this team, and man, it's just really fun to see this team and how they've grown, how they've matured, gotten better the last couple of years. Bree Lewis has been, you know, fantastic throughout the year, but to me, Kindred Wiesman, leader of this team, and her improvement has really, really helped this team take that next step, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. You know, she was named the team's Defensive Player of the Year, which was a little bit of a surprise, I think, when Coach Mitty announced that at the season-ending banquet, and then beforehand, that he was going to give the award to her, especially when you have a Bree Lewis on your team at 6'5", as kind of a rim protector. But the thought was that she had taken such great strides this year in being the quarterback on both ends of the court, not only being the one that can hit three-point shots but run all the offense and get him in the right place and get the ball inside to Bree Lewis. But on the defensive end, the team really took on a different role and a different look when they went to this sort of rotating junk defenses. And, I mean, they played 15 different defenses this year, and she had to be the one to kind of keep everybody in the right spot and know where they need to go. And multiple defenses in the game, they had to switch. And so she's the one that had to cover up and make some adjustments for the people that may have missed the read or maybe not have been in the right spot. And you're right. I think in some respects she was kind of the unsung MVP of this team, even when you have someone as dominant as Bree Lewis.
Yeah, the K-State women's team got off to a slow start in Big 12 play, and I remember Coach Mitty saying, we got off to a slow start last year. We recovered in conference play. Of course, Big 12, one of the toughest conferences in America when it comes to women's basketball. And isn't that such a key to a team, is that you kind of – I think you reflect the character or personality of your coach many times. And when you see your head coach cool and collected going, okay, yeah, we got off to a tough start in the conference, but hey, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon, kind of a soothing effect on the rest of the team, isn't it?
I think so. He's supremely confident and a positive person. And when it comes to practice and when he's around the team and projecting what he wants them to think about going into each game. And this team has worn that personality. They've gone through a period of doubt in themselves that was early in the conference season, and he never wavered and kept saying, you're a good team, believe it, we'll keep working hard, and we'll get wins back. And to be honest with you, you know, people like myself or others that are close to the program, that you are far enough removed from it that you can objectively pull back and you look down the schedule and you look at wins and what could be a loss, you're like, I don't see it, man. I don't see how they're going to be able to pull back and get wins, you know, in certain games. But he doesn't care about all that stuff. And I can remember vividly the game at Iowa State, because in the history of for K-State women's basketball, it was a big win. It just, you go there, you don't win. And many teams don't go to Hilton Coliseum and win. And after the game, he had mentioned that he, on his radio show, talked about he didn't want to hear that talk anymore. He couldn't believe it going in there that he heard so much about, you know, man, that could be a big win, and no one's won there since then. People build it up to be a bigger thing than it is, and that beats you before you take the court. And his mindset was, it's just another game. It doesn't matter. We match up well. We have a good game plan. Let's go out and win. And you could see it reflect in the girls. When they won the game, the video of them in the locker room after the contest when they won the game, there was some celebration, but it wasn't as if they had just won the national title. I mean, it was a rather subdued celebration because they expected to win the game. And historically, that has not been the case going into places like Hilton Coliseum or playing Baylor at home, another game where things break light at the end of the game, they may have pulled off one of the biggest upsets of the year.
Brian Smaller, the voice of the Kansas State Lady Wildcat basketball team, with us here on the Sports Ticket as K-State women will open up play coming up on Friday as they'll take on George Washington in Columbia, South Carolina. K-State, the number 9 seed, and George Washington, number 8 seed, with a record of 26-6. And if K-State moves on, odds are they'll play South Carolina, number 1 seed, who's 31-1 on the South Carolina's home floor. So what do we know about George Washington? He was 8-9 matchups, obviously. It could go either way, and no matter what tournament bracket you look at. But what do you know about the opponent for K-State?
Well, they're a little bit underseeded, George Washington, to be honest with you. They feature one of the best players in the country, in Jonquel Jones. She was injured for a better part of the year, and because of that, they dropped a couple games that they shouldn't have, and that lowered their seed coming out of the Atlantic 10. It doesn't take much to drop a team like that from a lower conference in the city just because you don't play as many high-profile opponents. But, you know, she's pretty perfectly blunt. She's a top 3 or 4 WNBA post player that could be drafted. 6'6", can hit the three, averages about 16 points, 14 rebounds a game. Her first game back was in the conference tournament. She had 10 points, 18 rebounds, followed it up with 15 and 15 in the next game. So she's a transformational player inside at 6'6". And if she had been healthy all year long, you're talking about a team that could have been a five seed. So the fact that they're an 8 is a bit of an unlucky draw for K-State, but you're going to have to go beat somebody good to get to advance, right? Beggars can't be choosers when you're in the tournament, and you didn't win your way in by winning your conference tournament. So it's a tough matchup, no doubt. The good news, I suppose, for K-State fans is that this is not a three-point shooting team. They only average 4 threes a game, 4 makes a game. They are big. With Pranging inside, along with Jones, 6'5 and 6'6. They like to post it up inside. And then they got Carol Washington, who is a tremendous wing player that can drive the basket as well. So athletic, and they can get to the rim, and they can shoot it pretty well from the free throw line. And their game is to try and get it inside and score and beat you there. But that's not totally unusual that K-State has seen this year. They're just going to have to play well and be mindful of Jones, who's coming back from injury, that she's a very, very, very good player. It should be a wonderful matchup against Bree Lewis.
Let's talk about the process for a moment with Coach Mitty. First year, you get to WNIT. Nice step, postseason play, and that probably helped him going into this year. Now this year, you make the NCAA tournament as a 9 seed. More than likely, unless they pull off a shocker against South Carolina, you maybe get a win in the tournament. Maybe you're out in the first round, but still the experience, getting the extra practices, having the NCAA tournament experience, I would think would be beneficial to building for next year. It seems like Coach Mitty's got a nice kind of building block format as to getting K-State back on the national radar when women's basketball.
I would agree with that, and in some respects it was pretty important to make the tournament this year from that standpoint, because this team only has 3 seniors, or 4 if you count Stacey Malone, who hasn't played in a couple of years. And of those 3 seniors, the only one that plays extensively is Megan Dinas. She was a fifth-year transfer in, and the other, of course, was Bree Craig, who's been here 4 years but has been in a more of a reserved role. So you've got a bulk of this team back next year, and it wouldn't have been a problem to make the WNIT again and make the postseason and build off of that into next year. But then it would have been, boy, if you make the NCAA tournament next season, it felt like it was the culmination of the careers of those players, such as Wiesman and Bree Lewis and others. You want it to kind of be a case of, all right, we're in the tournament, now that's the baseline, and where do you go from there? Now it's about how deep you go. And the players themselves will come back with a year of playing in the NCAA tournament. So I agree with you in the way that it's being built. It was fortunate that K-State made a tournament this year. And now they can springboard off of that into next season, where they'll have enough back where I expect them to be a middle of the pack, if not in the upper tier, picked in the Big 12. Bree Lewis will be a Big 12 Player of the Year candidate, and K-State will vie, I'm sure, for a higher seed in the NCAA tournament next season. Should be a lot of fun, but hopefully they can use the experience of a win, at least, in the NCAA tournament and the game against South Carolina as the way to jump into that.
Okay, so one question about the entire bracket here, and we're talking Brian Smoller, voice of the Kansas State Lady Wildcats. They're playing on Friday against George Washington, first round of the NCAA tournament. UConn is the overwhelming favorite. Do you think anybody will beat UConn?
No.
That's kind of what it's. That is the correct answer, probably.
No. And having seen UConn and then seen Baylor and Texas, who are very good and ones and two seeds, no, I do not. And the only way that would happen is if UConn had some key injuries and played poorly, and someone like South Carolina or Notre Dame played, or Baylor played as perfectly as they can, which. On a great, you know, it's basketball, so any given day something can happen, I suppose. But UConn is a level above, and it's not just because they have the best players, because everyone's got good players. I mean, when you get to the one seed and the two seed, they've all got great players. I mean, Baylor's pulled in recruiting classes that are as good, if not better, than UConn the last 2 years. It gets down to the execution, in addition to the talent, is what makes UConn better than anyone else. They prepare, they execute better than anybody. And they have the best talent, and they have the best player in the game, and Brianna Stewart. So when you have that combination, it's lethal, and you see the results. I mean, they were beating people by 50, 60 points most of the year. It's just not a fair fight. So it would be a staggering upset if they lost at any point on their way to another national title. A
couple of questions for you about the K-State men's basketball program. Did not get invited to the NIT. Bruce Weber saying, hey, you know, we were looking forward to it, wanted to play, or kids wanted to play, or disappointed didn't play in the NIT. Then you're contacted by the other tournaments, the CBI and the Las Vegas, what was supposed to be 16, which is now Las Vegas 8, because a lot of teams said, no, we don't want to play in the tournament. I guess I'm a little bit confused, but yet I think I understand, but we're just not coming out and saying it, so it's probably the politically correct way of going about it. But correct me if I'm totally all wet about this, Brian. But basically, it's we have injuries, so we're not going to play in that postseason tournament. But if the NIT had called, we would have played despite the injuries. I think you see my point here. Which way is it?
Yeah, you know, at the end of the day, I think if you don't make the NCAA tournament or the NIT, there isn't a whole lot of reward for playing in the other tournament.
Right.
And that's no slight meant to those other fields.
Yep.
And this is speaking from someone that I was not involved in the decision process nor privy to it. But just my own opinion, how does it help your program by going to those other tournaments? And you know, that's the part where I would have a hard time seeing where the benefit would be, other than you're getting a little bit more experience playing for guys like Dean Wade and Barry Brown and the rest, the other newcomers. But it's you're talking going up against a mid-major program. I'm not sure that's really going to help you in your growth, especially when they're going to be playing again here in just a couple of months for their international tour.
Right.
And that was the other consideration. So you have these younger guys, and the NIT is something that you could at least hang your hat on as a program and have the experience possibly of winning and getting to New York and making it feel like it's something big, right?
Yeah.
So you have the idea that it's something bigger for your program that you're playing for. Once you get out of that, then you start thinking about, okay, man, we're going to be playing here in a couple of months. I liken it to like a young pitcher in for the Royals, right? He's thrown a ton of innings in 1 year. Do you want him to go play winter ball, or do you want him to rest for spring training? That was kind of my thought was, I could see that, where there's not a whole lot of reward for going to play in these other tournaments. You're going to need these guys to be fresh and ready to go for next year, because next year is a pretty big year for that program.
Yeah, and I understand what you're saying there. And the other thing, too, that's been brought up to me is, well, when football, when a team makes a bowl game, no matter what bowl game it is, if it's a bad bowl game, if it's a good bowl game, well, one of the things that everybody talks about why you want to make a bowl game is you get more practices, you get more reps. That gives you a step up on your competition. The teams that don't make a bowl game, that helps your younger players develop going into the next season. And so that was something that I thought about in regards to the advantage of playing in a postseason tournament, no matter what it's called. That would be advantage, more so for the younger guys like you mentioned. But that's kind of like what I felt like. The elephant in the room is basically that, listen, the NIT is where we want to go. If we are not in the NCAA or the NIT, then, as you pointed out, then I can see the point of, well, we're going to play against mid-majors. And it's kind of like in high school, well, I'm a 5A. Why am I going to play a 2A when I don't have a lot of reward? If I lose, it's a big deal. But if I win, well, you're supposed to.
Yeah, I'm sure there is some of that. I don't know how much they know about the field, though, ahead of time.
True.
They may know a little bit, but, you don't know exactly who all is in there. And K-State wasn't the only bigger school conference to not send a team to Vegas or whatever.
Yeah.
The thing of it would be more so, the rules are different in football than they are in basketball. In basketball, there is an allotted time each week for the coaches to work out with players, so there isn't as much of a premium on, boy, I need that extra practice time every day.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to get the extra practice time anyway, more than other teams with their international tour. You remember the Jayhawks got this, I think it was last year or the
yes.
year before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Same deal. So the coaches look at it, too, your out-of-season conditioning is going to come at some point, and then you're going to have a lot of one-on-one and team-oriented practices and to get ready for the season. It's just a matter of, is it going to be right now, or are we going to have it later in the summer? And these guys, to the end of the year, it's like, okay, you know what? I don't know if we're going to get a reward of playing in those tournaments. It won't have the same feel.
Yep.
It won't have the same environment as the NIT or even the NCAA tournament. Let's get them ready, and then we'll come back with our team practices and get them going for what we will build on in next season. I get it from both sides. I think, in my opinion, that would be the reason. There just doesn't seem to be a high reward for playing in those tournaments right now, and it'd be better if they all formulated into one.
Yes.
Fracturing off into three smaller tournaments.
I agree with you on that. Okay, so your bracket. Yeah, can we take this to town here? Brian Smoller's final four picks for the NCAA men's tournament. Who do you got?
Well, I hate to be a party pooper. I honestly haven't looked at the bracket, and that is a complete truth. I haven't even – we've had K-State baseball going on, kids on the spring break, messing around with them, and then, of course, doing the getting ready for the women's game. I don't even know who all the number one seeds are on the men's side. Haven't even looked at it.
Well, Austin Peay.
I know the Jayhawks are a one seed,
yeah.
And Michigan State, are they a one seed?
They're a two seed.
They're a two seed. Okay, well, there you go. I don't even know.
Well,
I couldn't tell you.
Well, note to Wade, prepare questions better for Brian so I know that he's filled out. Gosh, that was bad on my part. I just assume that's what you'd get in trouble. When you assume, you get in trouble in the business, right?
And you know what? It's not most years I would know, but this year I've had no idea and no real reason to look at it. And I hope the Big 12 does well. I will say that. I think for the conference, the Big 12 needs to do well.
Oh, yes.
They talk so much this year about, and on the broadcast we talk about how, boy, the conference needs the strongest in America. Well, they need to prove it. And I think there's been a couple of columns in the newspaper or online written about how the failures of the Big 12 in postseason, it can't happen again. You can't call yourself the strongest conference if you go out there and lose in the first and second rounds.
Absolutely. And finally, our off-the-wall question for you, Brian. Who has the weirdest, or what is the weirdest mascot you've ever seen?
Ever seen?
Yeah, because the mascots are a big deal. We get the NCAA tournament, you go dancing, you see the mascots dancing around, doing all kinds of crazy things. We discover a new mascot every year. What's the weirdest mascot, the weirdest-looking mascot you've ever seen?
Boy. You know, I still am weirded out by the Stanford tree.
It's
just, I don't get it. I don't understand
the relation.
I'm like, Stanford Cardinal, okay, Cardinal lives in a tree. Maybe that's the correlation. I'm just weirded out by it. I don't get it. I don't understand it at all. So,
Seen the corn cobber? Have you seen the corn cobber from Concordia College?
No.
We had that as a question on our day, and a friend of ours, Jaron, posted a picture. We didn't even know it existed. It looks like the Woo Shock for the Shockers, except a lot freakier and uglier. Yeah.
I will have to go check it out.
I will have to forward that to you so you can check it out. It'll make your day, man. Yeah. It'll make any other mascot look really good. It really will. Hey, man, I appreciate your time. I know you've been busy. I know you're going to be very busy, and I really appreciate you taking the time to join us today on the Sports Ticket to talk about K-State women and men's basketball. Have a safe travel to Columbia, and best of luck to the Cats in the NCAA tournament, buddy.
Thanks, Wade. Never a problem. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Brian Smola, voice of the K-State Lady Wildcats, here on the Sports Ticket.